divine intervention in order to make that decision. And so, like I said, I think you may be a little bit surprised by the direction that I'm going to take this, and others of you will say, yeah, I think that probably makes sense. I hope it makes sense. I hope I can explain it in a way that does. But as you go down to Proverbs chapter 3, the question I have in verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And what's the promise? And He will direct or make your path straight. Okay? Does that still apply today? Does the Proverbs 3 understanding still come into play in our lives? Let's begin by taking a look at this. But first of all, let's look at the context a little bit. Because I think context is the king. When you're studying the Scriptures, context is the critical thing that you need to be looking at. And you need to be looking at it, what comes before, what comes after, and where it's placed within the text. And so go back to chapter 3 and verse 1 and understand the context. My son, who's writing this book of Proverbs? Solomon is writing. Who's he writing to? Obviously, his son, right? And so he says, my son, do not forget my teaching. Now, then he says, but let your heart keep my commandments. Solomon was writing the book of Proverbs, and it was being written as the word of God. I mean, it was inspired by God. It's included in the canon of Scripture. It is God's word. And so I don't think it is stretching for me to say, as we keep it in context, begin with know the word. He says, don't forget my teaching. If you are struggling or striving to learn and discern the will of God in your life, begin with the word of God. Okay? That makes sense, right? Because God's will is going to be, for the most part, revealed in God's word. And if we are not students of the Word and understanding the Word and applying the Word properly, we are not going to understand and apply the will of God properly. And so he begins with, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands. So first of all, know the Word. Secondly, obey the Word. Secondly, obey the Word. Let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and in the sight of man. And so what we are being told is if we know the Word and if we obey the Word, we're going to be able to do what we're told in verses 5 and 6. But if the Word is not being absorbed and understood and applied in our lives, that's going to be very difficult. The third thing is know that when you do know God's Word and you do obey God's Word, it is for your good. But it's also for God's glory. If you notice in the text, he says, you will find favor and good success in the sight of God because it's for His glory, but also in the sight of others. And it's for your good. Okay, so the context is know the Word, obey the Word, and understand that what God is leading you to do will always be for your good and it will always be for His glory. Okay, next, let's take a look at the instructions that are here. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Who's the focus on here? It doesn't say, look for the things that will make you the most happy. You know, it doesn't say, pursue those things that are most satisfying to you. It doesn't say, look for those circumstances and situations in life that make you smile the most. It doesn't say, follow your heart. In fact, other places it says your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But what does it say? It says, first and foremost, trust totally. With all of your heart. Even to the point that you are no longer leaning on your own understanding. It's interesting, in Philippians 4, we're told to be anxious for nothing but through prayer, supplication and thanksgiving. Make your requests known to God. And what is the promise that goes with that? The peace of God, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, it is, and prayer is one of those components of trust, where we lay aside our own desires, we lay aside our own agendas, we lay aside our own understanding. How often do we sit down and try to begin working through the process of something, and we can only see it through our own understanding? And maybe together with your spouse, you're working through a major decision, or together with your partner in business, you're working through a major decision, and you're trying to look at it through a human perspective and a human understanding. And he says, no. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So it's got to be total trust. It's got to be total submission in all your ways. Acknowledge him. That's hard. We like to acknowledge him in those ways that are convenient, in those ways that are easy, those ways that agree with what we want, what we desire, and what we're pursuing. But he says, no, don't lean on your own understanding, but in everything, in all of your ways, in every part of life, acknowledge me. Submit completely to me. And then he says, follow fearlessly, because he's going to give direction to your paths. He's going to make straight your paths. So follow fearlessly. Pursue him relentlessly. Now, this is what I said you may not have considered in this process. God is after your heart. He is after your total submission and your total trust and your fearless following. That's what he wants. And when you get to the point where you are able to trust him totally and submit to him completely and follow him fearlessly, you will find yourself pursuing his will. But it's interesting, even in the Apostle Paul's life, if anybody could know which direction to go, it should have been him. You know, if he was playing baseball, he was down to the full count on his third strike till he figured it out. I mean, this way, no, that way, no. And he was still in a position where he was totally trusting. Why do you suppose God didn't just reveal it all right up front for him? You think there was something in Paul's life that God wanted to accomplish? Something that Paul was supposed to be learning and growing from? Do you ever wonder why we don't figure it out immediately? In chapter 12 of Romans, we are told to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And then we're told, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that when you do that, what is the result? Then you'll be able to understand and discern what? God's will. It's right there, Romans 12, 2. Look it up. But he wants our heart. He wants us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. He wants us to be renewed in our mind. Wouldn't it be so much easier if we could just get a text message from God? But he doesn't do it that way. He works in our heart. He works in our life. He develops our understanding. He develops our passions and our convictions, and he brings us to the point of saying, okay, now you're ready to take the next step. If we had it all scripted, if we knew every step of the way, every decision that needed to be made, every direction that needed to be taken, we wouldn't need faith. All we'd need is a good laptop so we can record all this stuff. Put it on our calendar. But you see, God is working on something so much grander and so much greater and so much bigger than just simply, what do I do in this decision? Seek first, he says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, then all these things will be added. And then I believe one of those things he's talking about is a clarity of direction in your life for where he wants you to go. Are you okay with that? Or are you so much of a planner that you're not giving room for God to change your direction? Apply these principles. Look in verse 7. Again, going back to the context. He knows our temptation. Look at how he begins in verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. So what he's saying is, abandon human wisdom. Abandon human wisdom. Socrates, I don't have any idea if this story is true, but I'm going to tell you anyways, had a young man that came to him and said, "Oh, wise Socrates, I want the wisdom that you have." And Socrates looked at him and thought, I wonder if he really does. And he says, "Young man, you come with me." And they went down to the river. And he took him out into the river where the water came up about so deep. And he put his hand on the back of this man's head and he pushed him under the water. He started counting, I think. He held him under for about 20, 25 seconds. And he pulls the man up by the hair on his head and he looks him in the face and he said, "What is it that you wanted?" And the guy's like, "I want understanding. I want wisdom." "Okay." Whoom. Back down he goes. This time he goes 30 seconds, 35 seconds. Pulls him back up, looks him in the face. His eyes are big. He says, "Now what is it you wanted?" "I want understanding. I want wisdom." Whoom. Back down he goes. This time, till he almost seems lifeless, he pulls him back out, waits till he's done spitting out water, and he says, "What was it you wanted?" He said, "I want understanding. I want wisdom." And he looked at the man and he said, "Until you want understanding and wisdom, as much as you wanted air third time down, you will not attain it." What's the point? I really believe there are times in our life that we say, "I want the will of God. I want an understanding of who God is. I want the will of God." But we don't want it as much as we want air itself. And so God takes us through a process. And sometimes that process is straightforward, and sometimes that process takes a lot of diversions. But what is God after in our lives? And as long as we're hanging on to that human wisdom, that human logic, we don't want it as much as we want air. Another example of how this looks. Notice what's next. It says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth," back in verse 7, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." If we are wanting to acknowledge Him in all of our ways and we are still coddling those little sins that easily beset us or those big sins that easily divert us, we don't want it as much as air. It's like, "I want to know the will of God, but I don't want to give up my sin. I'm having too much fun with it. I'm enjoying it way too much. I'm not going to let that go just for the will of God. But boy, it'd be great to get the will of God and understand it and know it and hang on to this too." And so we keep one foot over here in the world, and we keep one foot over here in the faith, and we're missing it. We are not understanding what God is calling us to. Trust totally. Submit completely. Follow fearlessly. That's what He's calling us to do. Go a little bit further with this. It gets less comfortable as we go along, so stay with me. Be spiritually restored. He says, "It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." What will be? Trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging Him, letting Him be the one that directs your path. It'll be healing to your flesh. It'll be refreshment to your bones. And then he says, "Honor the Lord with everything you have." Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your produce. He says, then, up to God to fill your barns. They'll be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. I want to follow the Lord. I want to do whatever He calls me to do, but I don't want to give this up. This is mine. I worked hard for it. I'm going to hang on to it. And what He's really saying to us here is, lean not onto your own understanding. Abandon your human wisdom, because that's not yours. It's His. And it's a test. He wants to see if you trust Him. He wants to see if you will follow Him. He wants to see if you will acknowledge Him in all of your ways. And if you're going to acknowledge Him in all of your ways, everything you possess is His. It's not yours to begin with. You were just a steward over it. So, there's a pressing question. How do we discern the specific direction that God has for us in our lives? Should we sit back and wait for a vision in the night? Should we expect to hear the voice of God? Should we make a special deal with God, do the putting out of the fleece and say, okay, God, you know, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you? I think a lot of times, folks, we get caught up on terminology. We have had so many of our missionaries come through this past year. And I love listening to what God's doing in their life and what God's doing in their ministry. And we've had missionaries say, God told me this, and God showed me that, and God directed me like this. Some of you may be uncomfortable with some of the terminology because we think, wow, God doesn't speak audibly anymore. And I'm not sure if you would sit down with those missionaries and talk it through with them that they would say, no, that's not what I meant by that. Don't get hung up on terminology. Get hung up on, okay, here's an example of a man of God or a woman of God who is so desperately desiring to learn the direction and the will that he has that they're willing to trust completely and to surrender everything, submit totally to him, and to follow him fearlessly wherever he leads. We can get caught up on terminology. We have to be careful with our terminology because words matter. But understand the principles that come behind this seeking and this searching and this desiring to learn the will of God. The fourth thing is enjoy the blessings. Enjoy the blessings. You know, this is right parallel with seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then God has your heart. And he says, then I'll give you the blessings. And in the book of Proverbs, he talks about healing to your flesh, refreshment for your bones, barns being filled with plenty, and vats bursting with wine. And you look at that, you say, oh, that's my goal, that's my desire, that's what I'm after. No, that's the blessing that comes from getting it right and trusting completely and submitting completely and following fearlessly. So, the example of Paul. Let's look at this just very quickly. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. First of all, they already knew where they were to be, that they were supposed to be witnesses and make disciples. That was made so clear. The will of God for you, Paul, go into all the world, preach the gospel, be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts. Make disciples, baptize them, teach them everything I've instructed you. They knew that part of it. There was no question about God's will for their life. And let me tell you, that's the same will he has for you. There's no question about that part. Secondly, they already knew that they were to go on another missionary journey. I mean, the elders of the church at Antioch said, you guys got to go again. And they said, yeah, let's go. And so it was in their heart, it was in their passion, it was in their desire, and it was within the will of God. It was made clear to them, they need to go. They didn't know which way to go. You know what? God did. And let me say this to you in your life. There are many, many things that you will learn and discern from the Word of God that will make very clearly what God's will is for your life. But when you get to this question, okay, now what's next? Which way do I go? And you sit and you get so concerned about this part of it. Well, rest assured, God already knows. He just hasn't chosen to direct you yet in those details. What you need to do is get moving on the things you do know. And as you get moving on the things you do know, he will begin to unfold those things that you don't know. And how he does that? That's his business between you and him. But it will never contradict his word. Because his word is true. And we have all that we need for life and godliness. So they went the direction that God led them. They were faithful to what God was telling them and directing them to do. This is an acronym that I want to share with you, and I hope it's helpful to you. It's something I've used in teaching teens, and I've used it in my Bible classes. I've used it in different chapel services. I've used it in other messages. It's a simple way for me to remember, and if your mind works anything in a distorted way like my mind works, maybe this will be helpful to you. I want another acronym this morning. I guess that's a tool of the preacher, okay? But the word wise always begins with the Word of God. The Word of God is your greatest tool for understanding the will of God. Because the Word of God will lay out what God's expectations are for you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That takes place by study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly divides the word. And then you will be able to learn and know and understand and discern what is that perfect will of God for your life, that direction that he would have you to go. Begins with the word. Secondly, investigate your options. I was talking with a young couple just on Friday, and they're just rarely wrestling with career change and moves and all of these things that are going on. And I looked at them and I said, why are you so worked up about this? Well, this is our family. We've got to take care of our family. We've got to know what's going on. And it's easy for me as the counselor to say, why are you so worked up about this? But I looked at them both and I said, do you understand that you have options? 90% of the world has no options. They get up every morning, do the same thing, go through the same struggle. Go to bed at night, get up the next day and do the same thing because they have no options. Praise God, he has given us in this land such rich opportunity and such rich options. And I think we want to figure out, okay, what is that specific place, that specific job, that specific detail? Paul didn't know. But he did know that they needed the gospel in this direction and they needed the gospel in that direction and they needed the gospel in that direction. And so he packed up and he started moving. And God changed his direction. Are you okay if God changes your direction? He does it all the time. But begin to investigate your options. What are the choices? What are the potentials? What are the possibilities? Which way should we go? Begin to, you know, and put it in a spreadsheet if that helps you. Start marking it down and reading through it and studying through it and investigating these things. Don't just look for the easiest. Don't just look for the one that will make you the wealthiest, the fastest. But look for the one that you believe is going to put you in a place where you can be totally committed, totally submitted, and to be able to follow God fearlessly. And it may be something completely different from what you're even thinking of. The third. Last week we talked about discipleship, how everybody needs a Paul and everybody needs a Timothy. And I will say, you need people in your life that you can go to for godly counsel. You need men, you need other men that are maybe a generation ahead of you that have made some mistakes that you want to avoid. Let them pay for their mistakes. You learn from them and avoid them. Talk to them about what your options are. Talk to them about what you're learning from your study in the Scriptures. Ask them for some wisdom and direction in your study of the Scriptures to find out which way you should go. But seek godly counsel. There is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. I fear, though, we don't set aside our own desire and our own will, and so we want to find people that we can surround ourselves with that will pat us on the back and say, well, that's a good idea. You've got a great idea. Go with your idea. No, pull some people around you that are willing to challenge you, to ask the hard questions, to point you in a different direction if need be. But godly counselors are so important in our lives. And then finally, examine the consequences. Jesus says it this way, before you build a tower, count the cost. He's talking about that in following after him. And I will tell you, when you begin to count the cost, you're going to have a much more difficult time pursuing where God is leading you if you haven't fully surrendered, fully submitted, fully committed, and are willing to follow him fearlessly wherever he takes you. Because I will promise you that where he desires to take you probably is not in your GPS yet. You probably haven't even considered it or thought about it, and yet God has got a plan laid out for you, and don't put stuff away, I'm not done yet. He has laid out a plan for you in your life that is so much grander and so much greater than you could dream or think or imagine. But he wants your heart. He wants you to follow hard after him. But let's get moving. Genuinely applying what we learn in Proverbs 3, seeking first his kingdom, making those choices that are wise, being patient, being prayerful, being persistent, but being prepared. There shouldn't be downtime waiting for God to catch up with you. Those God uses in greatest ways, he puts through the deepest, darkest wildernesses where he can teach them. And maybe that's where you are right now, is in one of those wilderness experiences, trying to figure it out. Go back and study the wilderness experiences of Scripture. Jonah learned in 3 days what it took Moses 40 years to learn in the wilderness. But it was a lot smellier experience for Jonah. Don't be discouraged. Even the Apostle Paul himself was struggling through this. But allow God to refine, to equip, and to transform you. I could go on, but I won't. I thought I'd get an amen out of that. I do want to give an invitation this morning, though. I'm going to ask the praise team if you guys want to come up right now while I'm speaking. I do want to give an invitation this morning because I know that in any crowd, and especially when you get a crowd this size, there are some of you who have been wrestling with these things, and yet you have really resisted trusting completely and submitting fully and following fearlessly. And you may be hanging on to your own ideas, or you may be hanging on to some sin that you just don't want to let go of. And I want to open an invitation this morning to say, just come to the altar with it. Just kneel here at the altar and say, you know what, today I'm going to put a stake in the ground. I'm going to mark this place and I'm going to mark this time to say, my pursuit is to trust you completely, to submit to you with everything that I have, to follow fearlessly after you wherever you take me. And we'll have someone here just to come alongside you and then to pray with you if you like. But you come. Let's stand together as we sing. I'll wait for you here. If you need to come and resolve these issues, you come, bring them to the altar this morning.